What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Afros in the Diaspora. I'm your host, Sarah, and today our guest is from Mozambique, living and thriving in New Zealand, Jeruzio. Welcome to the Afros in the Diaspora podcast.
Thank you, Sarah, for your invitation. It's a pleasure to be on your podcast. I've listened to your podcast before, and I'm sure it's going to be fun.
Yes, I'm very excited. Because I'm yet to speak with someone living in New Zealand. So that's amazing. we can make this happen.
No, I'm glad I'm the first one living in New Zealand that you have on your podcast. So I hope I make all the other Afros in New Zealand proud.
Yes, I feel like you'd be great. Don't even worry. So we're just going to jump right into the trivia. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Okay, we're going to start with an easy one. A lot of people fumble the spelling of Mozambique, which is where you're from. So I need you to just correct the world today. Spell Mozambique.
All right, Mozambique is spelled Mozambique.
Mozambique, correct. What are the countries that surround Mozambique?
South Africa. Mm-hmm. Swaziland, which is now called Eswatini, mm-hmm. Zambia, Zimbabwe, Malawi, and Tanzania.
Yes. And what ocean is on the coastline of Mozambique?
Oh, that's the best ocean ever. That's the Indian Ocean. Warm water.
It's warm. It's also beautiful. Like, it's very vibrant. The colors are like, you know, it's not like some other places you go to and the water is looking brown.
So. Yeah, that one is usually blue and pristine waters and so on.
So what is the name of the current president of Mozambique?
The current president's name is Filipe Jacinto Nyusi.
Yes, correct. And how long has he been president?
He's been president for 2 terms, so I think this is probably year 10 for him, I think.
He assumed office in 2015, January 15, 2015.
So, right, nine years. Because I know there is elections this year, so, yeah.
Do you hope that he wins again?
I'm not there, so I don't really follow the dynamics, so I don't, yeah.
Okay, that's fair. What is the name of the island just off the coast of Mozambique?
That is the name of one of my favorite cartoons. That's Madagascar.
Correct.
Yay.
Wonderful. All right. So which of these rivers does not flow through Mozambique? Okay. Ready for the options?
Yes.
The Zambezi, the Save, Limpopo, and the Congo.
The Congo River.
The Congo River. Look at you. Correct.
Yay. I'm good at geography.
That's good. Yeah, that's very good.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm actually trying to shake you a little bit because you're getting everything.
I'm still updated, even though I've been away from the country for a while, but I still know the borders and all of that.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. Because now you can pass down that information to your kids, right? So.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
All right, so which of the following pair of natural disasters is Mozambique particularly prone to? Okay, are you ready for the options?
Yes, go for it.
Okay, so drought and volcanic activity, floods and volcanic activity, floods and drought, floods and blizzards.
Floods and droughts.
Floods and droughts, that is correct. Yeah. What is the capital of Mozambique?
That's Maputo, Maputo.
Maputo. And what did Maputo used to be called under the Portuguese rule?
It used to be called Lourenço Marques.
Oh my goodness, correct. Like, did you just go Google, like, Mozambique?
No, that's basic things that we used to learn from grade 1 to grade 4 or year 4.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I know.
Hopefully you don't forget it.
And you have not forgotten, so this is good.
Yeah.
All right, so other than Portuguese, what are the other recognized regional languages?
I think there is Shangana. Mm-hmm. There is Bitonga. There is Shwabu. And there is, there's lots. Yeah, I think somewhere closer to the border in the north, they might speak a bit of Swahili, but it's not something common in the rest of Mozambique.
Okay, so according to my Google research, the languages, the recognized regional languages other than Portuguese, Sena,
Oxen.
Shangana, which you
Yes.
mentioned, Lomwe, Tsonga, and
Tonga,
Makua.
yeah. Tonga and Makua, yeah.
Yeah.
Makua is widely spoken, one of the most populous cities in Mozambique. Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, well done, well done. All
Yeah,
right, so
just
I'm gonna
didn't know about Lomwe. That's the only one.
That was the only, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, so far so good. Okay, you did 100 over 100 for you on these
Okay,
trivia
that means I
questions.
can skip the next part, right?
Nope, you cannot.
No, I have to
No.
go through all of the oh.
Yes, you have to
Yeah,
answer
okay.
the riddles. And some of these riddles, I'm not going to lie to you, are not straightforward. So I apologize in advance, okay?
No, all good.
All right, let's go in strong because I mean, you may be familiar with this one. I have keys, but no locks. I have space, but no room. You can enter, but you cannot go inside. What am I?
I have keys, but no lock.
I have space, but no
I have
room.
space, but no room.
You can enter, but you can't go inside.
Or is it the door thing? I don't know what it's
Doorknob?
called. Yeah, no, yeah, the doorknob probably.
No.
No.
No. Would you like me to give you the answer?
Yes.
A keyboard.
Oh gosh, a keyboard. I have keys, but oh,
You have space but no
you have
room. You can
space, but
enter but
yeah,
not
got.
go inside.
That's a clever one. I like it. Yeah, keyboard.
Keyboard is the answer. All right.
Yeah.
What has to be broken before you can use it? Going, going,
No, don't know.
gone. Okay, the answer is an egg.
I wanted to say an egg, but I'm like, you can boil the egg. You can still eat without breaking it. But yeah, egg
No,
was.
even when you boil an egg, you still have to break it to eat it, right?
Oh yes, that's true. That's true. Yeah, yeah,
Yeah.
yeah, yeah. That's the only thing that came to my mind, egg. But I was
Yeah.
still trying to.
See, with these riddles, don't even think too hard because the answers are like literally the first thing that comes to your mind in a lot of cases. All right, so this one is very common. I'll ask you this one and then one final one. What goes up but never comes down?
What is it? A balloon?
Not
Not
about
a balloon? They come
No.
down? I thought they
They,
just
yeah,
went
balloons
up.
eventually, because when they, right? I honestly do not know what happens
But
to
they
the
went
balloons
up
that
and then
run.
they exploded there.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
I
not the
don't
answer
know.
to this riddle.
A spaceship.
A spaceship? A spaceship? Not a spaceship. This thing is not tangible. It's not something you can see with your eyes or touch with your hands. Age.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's a tricky one.
That was a
Age.
very tricky one.
Yes, yeah.
Age. All right, so final one. The more you take, the more you leave behind. What am I?
Take the more you leave behind.
Yes. So just imagine that you're like at a beach on the coastline of Mozambique, right? Right by the Indian Ocean. You're
Yes.
there, and the more of these you take, the more you leave behind.
Sand, I don't
No. I'm gonna give you a hint for this one. What happens when you walk on the sand? What do you leave behind?
know. Footprints or
Footprints. Yeah, that's the
the
answer.
moi. Oh, that's a clever one. Well, all
Yeah.
of them were clever and
Yeah.
easy to guess, but not so easy.
Not so easy, not so
No, good
straightforward.
job there.
Yes, thank you. But good job to you as well. You did incredible with the trivia, and I mean, you were okay in the with the riddles too.
Yeah, not good there.
Not good, but this was great. Okay, awesome. Thank you for engaging with me in the icebreakers.
Thanks.
Yeah, so let's get into your story, right? Let's start with your immigration story. And we're just going to talk about being black in New Zealand and what that is like. So, would you mind just starting us off with your immigration story of how you moved to New Zealand and how you chose to live there and how you kind of settled there?
My immigration story started in 2016. That's when I moved here. Prior to that, I had been exposed to traveling and had been to a few different places in the world, but never to New Zealand. All I knew about New Zealand was the name of the country, and I knew that they played rugby. That's all.
Okay.
So, when I was looking for places to go and live together with my wife, which was my girlfriend back then, we were like, oh, where are the places that we would like to live? Australia, maybe Canada, maybe UK. Let's try to go to an English-speaking country. So yeah, we started sending job applications. We went to their website, so I started applying, sending. That was my sport. That's how I like it to call it. Every single day, every week, I'd say at least I have to send like 20 applications every week. That's regardless of the replies, just send it, and you learn with the feedback that they give you. Often, different countries would say, "Oh, we love your CV, but we are not an accredited sponsor. So, if you ever here, we can employ you, or come and see us, and we might employ you, but we can't sponsor you to come here." And you'll take those knocks. There were lots of rejections, lots of no's, lots of no replies, and usually Australia and New Zealand would say, "We can't offer you a visa." Eventually, a swimming club, which was what I was applying to go to, swimming club said, "We're interested in having an interview with you," and I had been to many different interviews with different clubs from different parts of the world, but this one was like they really were interested, and they set it up as soon as they could, and I even said in my when I applied, like, I'm willing to pay my own visa costs, etc. They said, "Oh, let's take it easy." I'm like, "Okay, let's take it easy. I'll save money. That would be great." And yeah, we did the interview. Then there were like 3 months of all of the visa processes, like send us this, send that, and then they hired an immigration advisor. They said, "Okay, just talk to this guy. He's going to handle everything for you." So that's how we did. I would send it to him, and he would deal with immigration. In the end, they're like, "Okay, the date is this one, and you're coming." I'm like, "Ooh, that was exciting. That was really exciting." Yeah. At the time, my wife was pregnant, so we thought, should we tell them that we're expecting a baby, or is that going to be something that might? So now, if they ask, yeah, you tell them. But all I told them, like, I'm married. That's all they needed to know at that point, and that's how it was until I was hired and I came here.
May I ask about the swimming club? Were you what kind of jobs the swimming club are you applying for? Wait, are you a swimmer?
I was a swimmer for most of my life, and after I graduated from university, I had to decide if I was going to work in the area that I studied, which was human and social studies, and I would work with I would do social work mostly, and I did try to do social work, but the sports side of me was always there, always knocking, knocking. So eventually, swimming club back in Mozambique was looking for a coach, and I said, "I'd like to do it." And I started doing it, and that's how I became a coach. It was never like a dream. When I finished my career, I'm going to be a swimming coach. It was just like a natural progression, me trying to give back to the sport. And yeah, once I started working in that area and I started applying for jobs, it was always swim coaching, swim coaching, swim coaching. And yeah, that's how I made my career. Yeah.
It's so incredible that they literally like sponsored you to like be a swim coach. Like, that's
Yeah,
incredible. That's
it is.
amazing.
It's I like to say it's a blessing.
That was
First
like
of all,
favor,
an African coach. Second of all, some guy from Mozambique. Like, most people would be like, "How did you come here?" I'm like, "I'm a swimming coach." And they'd be like, So we hired you like to come and coach swimming in New Zealand, like yes,
Wow.
because you don't have enough. And from what I heard from my employers, if there is, they're not as qualified. You've got a good resume. You've done this and that. We've got people that want to do it but haven't done what you've done as a former swimmer and as a coach. So they just saw my CV that they thought, yep, I think this guy might be the guy that we're looking for. And
That's
yeah, that's
amazing. Like
God's glory.
God's favor, literally. Like, that's amazing. Personally, I cannot swim. And I'm
That's
always
okay.
saying, I'll learn, I'll learn, I'll learn. I've just never found a coach. And maybe I just haven't looked for one, but I've the because I can float and I can swim for like 5 seconds before I run out of air and I need to come out of the water. But so I'm not skilled enough to like swim and like bring out my head and stuff. So like, and
And look flawless, like
yeah, nope, I look like I'm struggling. So
that
I do
girl.
not.
Just keep an eye on her. Might
Yeah.
something might happen there.
And what's always funny is that whenever I'm in the pool, there's a life like guard around, like
Like,
nearby.
yeah. It's some. I've worked as a lifeguard before, and what happens is we kind of profile people. If you see African, you see Indian, you see you go like, better keep an eye on those guys that don't look like they have water around them.
Really?
Yeah,
But Africans have
really.
like I we have water, we have beaches and stuff, like,
We do. Yeah,
but they
but
just it's a profiling thing.
it's a profiling thing. Like there are people that who are more likely to not know how to swim because they're usually not surrounded by water. But yeah.
Yeah, and some people just don't learn how to swim. It's just that simple sometimes. 'Cause I never learned how to swim. My parents, excellent swimmers, but myself, I fight with the water. Like I went on a vacation. You know how like in Mexico there are the cenotes, like this natural like body of water in this like underground cave like thing with like natural water, and it's very, very, very deep. So on a vacation there, I went there and I was like, I'm gonna go to the cenotes, and I went, and you know, naturally everyone has to wear a life jacket, right? I wore two because I did not trust the life jackets. I was like, I don't believe this thing. This thing is too light to support my entire
Let's put
weight.
two.
Let's
Yeah,
put on two.
if
And
one fails, the other
the
one
other one will
will.
activate. Like,
Oh,
I
that's
literally have
crazy.
I wore two, and like I did the whole jump thing, and like, 'cause there's a place where I can go and jump in. I cannot swim, but I'm wearing two life
Wow.
vests. So I jump in and I'm fighting with the water. Like, I don't allow the life vest to do its job.
To do its job,
I did not.
to keep you, you're fighting water and you're fighting the life jacket too.
Yes, I'm like, and the you know, the people, they're like, relax, don't panic, don't panic.
Just breathe, girl. Breathe,
Just
breathe.
breathe. It was so embarrassing, but like I did not care.
But that's a common thing. Like for me, like me and I've got a younger brother, we're both swimmers, but our parents were not swimmers at all. They can't swim. Can you imagine? Like, they put us in swimming, but they can't swim. And in your case, your parents could swim,
Can, but
can, but you can't.
yeah, I
Like,
cannot.
yeah. That should be like generational wealth. They should pass it down.
Pass it on. I feel like at this point, because I'm an adult, I have to figure that out for myself. But
They trust that you'll find your own.
I'll find my way.
That's true.
I mean, okay, so this is awesome. Would you mind telling us what your first experience in like your first like year, I guess, in New Zealand was like? Like, what was adapting like? Because you're moving from a place where the main or the official language is Portuguese, right? And now you're moving to New Zealand. Like, did you already have an understanding of English, and were you already speaking it before you moved? What was settling in New Zealand like? Like, would you mind just telling us some of those like some cultural shocks you experienced, like some expectations versus the reality of living in New Zealand?
The first thing for me was how like empty the country felt. in terms of population. It come from Maputo, which has like 3 or 4 million. New Zealand as a whole has 5 million people.
Like
We
a, the
have
entire country?
the entire country has 5 million people. So
Wow.
Maputo has more than the whole population of New Zealand. And so to see people in the streets, like I was staying in a I stayed in a hostel for the first 2 weeks when I arrived. And in the residential areas, there's no one walking. And in Maputo, people are walking everywhere all the time from 5 a.m. until midnight. There is always someone on the streets. But here, I would walk and I'd be like, I see the cars, I see cars parked, I see houses, but where are the people? Where are they hanging out? There's no one in the streets, like one person here, one there. And after a while, I started doubting, like, is this really like a country? Or, yeah, it looks nice, all the houses are beautiful, you can see that there is people inside, but where is everyone? Are they hiding? I don't know. So what I
Are
did
they
was,
hiding? That's funny.
yeah, I went to a supermarket so I could see people. I was like, oh, this is where people are. Supermarkets were always full. So I'd go there like every second day just to feel like, oh yes, I'm in a country, I'm in a place where there is people, because I only saw the people in the hostel and I saw the people in my swimming club and no one in the streets. And I still had that habit of walking. But here people don't walk much. It's like you leave your house, you go in the car, drive to some place, come back. In Mozambique, like you walk for an hour to get somewhere and you don't feel like you're walking because it's just so much happening. You've got the cars and the music in those in the public transport, everything's like boom, boom, boom. But here it was like no one, like everything quiet, everything organized. So that was a shock for me to not have that human kind of heat
Connection, yeah.
connection. Yeah. Luckily, I could already speak English,
Okay, that's
and yeah,
good.
that wasn't a problem. I could struggle a little bit to understand a few words that they use here that they don't use in other parts of the world. For example, how do you call swimming costume in Canada?
Swimsuit.
Swimsuit
Yeah,
in a news.
in Nigeria it was swimming trunks. Here it's swimsuit.
Swimsuit, yeah, swimming
Yeah.
trunks. In New Zealand, they call togs. That's
Ah.
TOGS. They
Wow.
say, oh, I forgot my togs. I'll be like, I forgot your togs. What?
Asa, what is a tug?
What's a tog?
Yeah.
They'll be like, my. Oh, okay, togs. Okay. And then, slippers. Other parts of the world, they say slippers. In New Zealand, they say jandals. Oh, I don't have my jandals. I'm like, jandals? What's jandals? It's
Wow.
flip flops or slippers.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So those kinds of words were new
Right.
to me. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. If you want to say, for example, this afternoon in New Zealand, you say this arvo. ARVO.
Is that
This
English or
arvo.
is that a
Yeah.
slang?
It's like a shorter version of afternoon. So
It's
it's say,
Arvo.
oh, yeah, this arvo.
Wow.
Arvo. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, those were like the small things that I struggled to, that I found difficult to understand at first because I had never heard of it, but it was okay. The second part was probably in other cultures you treat the coach as Mr., or if someone is older you say Mr. something, and here they just call you by name, and I'll be like, they're calling me by name like that. Yeah, my like your guy back home, the kids called me teacher or mister, and here they just say, hey, Jeruzio, blah 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 blah. I'm like, huh? Why? Where's the respect? Where's the respect?
Yes,
These guys don't
yes.
respect me. But yeah, it
Yeah.
wasn't lack of respect, it's just how they treat each other. And also, like in African culture, when you enter a room or you come and see someone, you say, good morning, how are you?
Yeah,
Blah
you
blah blah.
greet.
Here
Yeah.
you just go, "Hey, Sarah, blah 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 blah," and you're like, "Hey, it's not like
No,
that. You greet me first." Like there's like that we exchange a few, word
pleasantries, yeah.
pleasantries, and then we go to the main subject. Here, you go to a public institution, good day. Then you tell them what you want. You don't have to go like, "How are you, ma'am? Are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine.
No small talks.
No small talk. It's just straight to the point."
Wow.
So one thing that I had to like implement, like bring from my own culture is like when my athletes come, they don't just come and say, "What are we doing?" I'm like, "Hey, you say good morning first. Acknowledge me. I'll acknowledge you, and then you ask me, what are we doing?" So that's something that I had to teach. I had to bring from my own values. It's not because I'm in a different culture that I'll just accept everything that is thrown to me. There are some things that we need to, and say it's just a matter of respect. Everyone says thank you here when they finish, but at the start they'll just come in like, "Oh, hey, blah blah blah." I'm like, "Hey, hi, how are you?" Just basics. And besides that, I think everything else was smooth. Not too much of a cultural shock in besides those things that I've mentioned already.
Okay, that's really good to hear that you even like were intentional about bringing your own like values. Like, hello, we are going to greet each other before we dive into the water today. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, just basic human acknowledgement and hello, hi, we're alive, thank God. Like, you know, and before you get into the work, like that's really cool.
And I even asked them, like, "When with your teachers, do you do that when you go into the class?" They said, "Yes, we just go and sit down. Like, you come late, you just go and sit down." I'm like, "No, if I was your teacher, you come into the room late, you come and see me. So sorry, I'm late." Just basic. That's like good manners. That's what I call it, good manners.
But it's just that cultural difference thing, right? You're like African values are African values. That thing of community, connecting, hello, hi, how are you? Like, how was
Respecting
your
the
night? Respect,
elders.
having conversation. You can't just call it like that thing with like saying Mr. versus just saying your name here, or where younger people would just be like Uncle, you know, Uncle Jerusio or teacher or Mr., you know, things like that. And then you move to this side and it's like, no, what is your
What's
name?
up?
I will call you your name. What's up? Hey, hi,
What's up?
hello, you know? That's very real. And I know that it was something I struggled with a little, like when I first moved here, where like professors, because moving from the educational system in Nigeria, where like everybody is like a lecturer, those that are professors, doctors, things like that, you must give, everybody has their title.
Yeah,
If you
you give
don't
them
use
the
the
proper,
title, you're not
build.
addressing them. But
Yes,
here you will see people that are doctors, like they have so like so many accolades and like whatever in life. Like, you just, oh, my name is Sarah. I'm like, Sarah, like what, you know, like
Doctor,
what?
you're a
Yeah,
PhD,
how
right?
do I, yes, like how do I address you? You know, and when I tr when you try and they're like, no, please just call me by my very, and I'm like, eh? This PhD that you struggled to get, you just want
That's
to,
you just want to
yeah,
bypass. No,
bypass in terms of like your title and stuff. So yeah, that definitely was a shock for me, you know, moving here as a student. And even like with adults here, when I try it, I just call by the name. I'm like, Miss, Mister,
Mister.
and it just comes
You're
out
like,
because I'm like, it feels strange. It doesn't feel right.
yeah, you still have the Nigerian, like, values in you.
I can just hear my mother like, are you are you playing games?
One other thing that shocked me, I just remember, was how people are laid back in terms of how they dress. Like you go to church and people are wearing shorts, flip-flops, Yankee hat or whatever. Or Sarah just came straight from the gym, she's got her leggings and her whatever. You're going to church. That's okay.
Straight from
Yes.
the
Like you've got your gym clothes, like you've got your leggings, your Nike tennis, and your the tops that women wear too.
gym?
Yeah, it's like normal. No one will be like, "How come in Mozambique you
In the
dress up to
house
go to
of
church?"
God?
In the Lord, in the
In the
house of the
Lord's
Lord.
house?
No way.
What?
You can't just turn up like whichever way you woke up. And here it's like it's common, like people dress the way they feel like. It's not mandatory, at least in a Presbyterian kind of evangelical church. Yeah, maybe if you go to a Catholic, I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't go to a Catholic church, so I don't know what it's like. But all the other churches, you dress as you are. If you woke up and you felt like the clothes that I wore yesterday are fine, just go with it.
You just wear that.
Yeah, no bright colors and all of that. And yeah, but I
Yeah, that's
still have my thing. Like if I go there, I remember a pastor that used to say, it's like you're going to see the president. You don't turn up to see the president in,
dressed anyhow.
yeah, anyhow, like shorts. And yeah, so I still put a nice pants, a nice shirt, and everything is like, yeah.
Yeah, and I think I so relate with that. I think I like my religious experience here as a whole was a cultural shock because in Nigeria, when they are praying, fire, Holy Ghost, fire, like,
Yeah.
here it's very different. Like the prayers are very laid back. Like, dear Heavenly Father God, we just want to. And sometimes they'll say in Jesus' name. Sometimes they won't even say in Jesus' name. We pray. The
Yeah,
prayer has
yeah.
just ended like that. So like, you
Yeah.
know, and then the dressing. It wasn't quite to the point where people were coming straight from the gym or wearing gym clothes, particularly, but casual, like jeans and a t-shirt, like, you know, just shorts, like stuff like that. Yeah, that's a major difference. Like, if you go to a church where maybe only white folks go there, or a church where it's like a mix, even in a church where it's a mix, you see the Nigerians or the Africans with the way they're dressed. You can
Yeah.
identify that. Yeah, these
Yeah.
ones are
This
Africans with the
one,
way they're
yeah.
dressed, because like
Yeah.
you look at the remaining people, t-shirt, even sometimes a pastor, like very laid back, very like jeans, shoes,
Yeah.
maybe sometimes ripped jeans
We struggled the first time I saw the pastor's wife, which here any pastor's wife, she's a preacher too, which in Africa is not
Not the
like that.
case.
Yeah, it's not the case. It's not because you're the wife of the pastor that you are also like,
Also
yeah.
by
But here,
proxy, yeah.
yeah, you see like she's got like tight pants, cut jeans, like oh, is that the pastor? Yes, she is. And she looks like a modern girl out in the street. And I'm like, okay, this is what it is. And it's the same thing you said about the prayer times. Like, I don't think in this culture they allow you to pray. It's like the pastor prays, but they don't give you much time.
Yeah,
Like,
they know, like,
it's
this is the
your,
prayer point,
this is
and
the prayer
yeah, they
point.
don't
It's
do
like,
that.
yeah, it's like I'll pray, you guys can follow, and then I'll
Just
cut.
say amen and go.
Just say amen and go, because we need to go for 45 minutes, if that's 45 minutes, and that's it. Yeah, I always tell my wife, when back in Africa, you arrive at 8, you leave at 12
So
p.m.
12 is early. In some churches, you leave at 1, 2.
just an example,
And like,
like.
I'm telling you, I cannot even do that anymore. Like, if I go to a church and it's more than an hour 30
You
minutes, you should be
start
rounding
feeling
up.
uncomfortable. You're
You're like,
like, come
okay,
on, come
when
on.
is this
I
gonna happen?
need to go.
Let's round this up. Because like because
Wow.
back home, churches, like, there's, first of all, sometimes
The worship,
like
hour and a
the
half.
worship.
Just hour and a half of worship. You're like, when is this going to start? They've prepared, yeah, the whole album.
The whole album. See,
Yeah.
there's the choir, there's the praise and worship, and then there's the special number where they come and perform a song.
Yeah.
And then there are
Is
hymns. So like there'll be a couple of hymns in the church service.
Yeah.
Then
Then there's
there will be
offering.
there's at least two offerings in a service.
The normal one,
Number
and then
one,
this, yeah.
building offering. If it's a Thanksgiving Sunday, then there are three offerings.
Yeah, then like I
You
think my
know,
pocket is empty now. Like,
it's empty. I
just give me something.
All I have is my song,
Yeah.
my dance to God.
Exactly.
You
Yeah.
know, and you know, like, worship is completely different. And here it's just very like there's a particular structure. Some churches don't
Yeah.
even have structure. You just come to church, you mingle with people after worship, and then eventually the like preaching starts. It's maybe 15, 20 minutes and you're like, it's done. You can hang out or you can go home, but there's no rush. Sometimes there's food outside or snacks outside. Like, it's very, very, like, informal, not as structured. But some other churches are also structured like that.
Yeah, I've noticed that the way to keep people in church here after the service is to give them food. That's when people stay. If there's nothing, people
coffee,
just finish.
Snacks,
buy.
Something.
Yeah, snacks and,
But in Nigerian churches here in Canada, the ones I've been to, everyone still wears like their Sunday best. The pastor's wife also has like that whole, the hat is big as the hats they're wearing, or the headgear is gigantic. With
like the queen. Yeah.
Exactly. She's first lady, so she has to dress accordingly, you know?
Yeah. When she comes in, you have to notice, oh,
that's the pastor's wife. Yeah, that's the first lady.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, the preaching still takes as long as it takes, offering, like, all those things. So, yeah, definitely. I think with, like, the people here, I feel like the people, cultural shock, for me, I've said this before, where I felt like everything was on low volume because I wasn't, it's a very quiet society. So like the churches, you know, normally like in Lagos, for instance, that there's noise from everywhere. So the noise is like background noise. Like it's just always there, you know?
Yeah, it's part of you get used to it. It's like always noisy.
When
you come to this kind of societies where it's so quiet,
you miss it.
Yeah, for me, hearing the sound of birds in the morning was like, my ear wasn't trained to hear that. It was like, I wanted to hear the sound of cars, people yelling at each other. That's a normal conversation.
Yes, 100%. Okay, so what, living in New Zealand, and, you know, having this career as a coach, how would you say you've been able to, and you've mentioned one where you're like, you've introduced like, okay, we're going to greet each other properly like human beings in the morning at work. How else would you say that you've brought like some of your Mozambican like cultural values, or how do you stay connected to your roots as a Mozambican, your culture, your food, your music, all those things? Like, how do you stay connected to it living in a country like New Zealand?
Yeah, I would say that the way we found to stay connected, first of all, we still speak Portuguese at home. Mm-hmm. I've got two children that are 7 and 4 years old. We speak in Portuguese with them. Mm-hmm. And that is something that they might reply in English sometimes, but they do understand it. They do speak it. So when they talk with their grandparents, with their cousins, etc., they can still speak in Portuguese. Mm. And
That's amazing.
So we make it a priority that they grow up being able to speak both languages, because there are some things that don't make sense in English. So we have to say it in Portuguese for them to fully understand. Mm-hmm. Like if mom or dad is upset, like if I'm talking Portuguese, like Portuguese, you know, I'm serious. Mm-hmm. Not like, don't touch it there. Yeah, if that's my soft side. If I go to Portuguese, it's like, hey, you know, we're serious. So, and it's good for them to know that, oh, we've got this ability to speak in more than one language. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they don't want someone to hear what we're talking about. They will change, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
The other things are like music. We'll always try and put African kind of music for them to have that as part of their rhythm. They might not have the African rhythm as other African kids who live in Africa, but they understand that this is the kind of vibrant music that we have from back home. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is food. We still eat much of like a variety of food. Here they say, oh, this kind of food is too wet, because we eat curries with the rice and things like that. Mm-hmm. And while here it's like sandwich.
Bread.
Bread, yeah. like carrots and all of that. But we put all of that into a curry, and yeah. So those are the things that we try to preserve from our culture.
Yeah, and 100% agree with food. Food is such an important like a cultural connection, especially within African communities. Like food is that thing that brings families together, communities together, and it's very like yeah, food is like number one for me as well. Like
It's connection. It's connection. And one thing that we don't have it here, but it's very common back home, is to always have people gathering together. We try to do it as often as it's possible. It's not every weekend like we do home. At home would be Saturday, Sunday. We always get together. Here we try every maybe once a month, just invite some friends from church or so, just come together. And our children love to have people at home. They love to understand that our family is not just the four of us. All these other people, we call it family too. They're not our cousins or etc. But yeah, we try to give them a little bit of that social side, which in kind of Western societies and these societies here, it's like family, it's mom, dad, and children. But for us, family is more than that. So there are friends that our children say, oh, they are our family, even though we're not like blood relatives, but they know, like we call them family because they're people that always invite us to go to their place, and we do the same. So it's always nice to keep those cultural values which we have from back home, which is have people around supporting each other, laughing, staying here until they feel like they want to go home. It's not like, hey, we started this time, we finished at this
And at
time.
this
No,
time,
just stay. Sometimes they go, oh, are we not bothering you? You know, we always tell them, like the Brazilians, the Portuguese, and the Africans, we say, you know, in our cultures, we don't tell you what time it
To
ends.
leave,
We
yeah.
just tell you what time you
That's
can
at this
come,
time,
and
yeah.
then stay until you feel like that's it.
I mean, it's not
So,
like they'll come on time anyway.
yeah.
In African culture, like you say it's at 5 and they're strolling
They
in at
will arrive,
7.
yeah, 2 hours later, they will be here, and yeah.
And they'll
So,
stay until they're ready to go.
yeah. So those things, they now understand that it's like, oh, okay, when these people are here, we can stay as long as we want. But there is some other people that when we go to their places, they tell us, okay, we started this time, we finished at that time. And that's okay. That's a
You
different
have to
culture.
respect that. Yeah,
Yeah, we have to
100%.
respect. Yeah.
So yeah, 100%. Language is another like incredible part. And like shout out to people who understand their language before they move, and then they're able to preserve it and pass it on, because I think it's so important now, more than ever, I feel, to be able to have that to be able to express, yourself in multiple languages and be able to like hold on to your parts of your cultural identity through language. I
Yeah.
think that it's really incredible.
Yeah, which I understand is not easy, especially if you
It's not
marry someone from a different
different
culture, from
culture, yep.
a different country. Yeah, you struggle to like impose your own because you're in their country, so you feel like, oh, yeah, there's no one else here to talk. But we've got the advantage that we are both Mozambicans, so we can both push down on those values.
Yes,
Yeah.
totally. Knowing that New Zealand is not a predominantly black country, so it is a predominantly white country, I have to ask about, have you ever had any situations where you are reminded that, oh, I am black indeed. I was not born here indeed. And where a person is just like, oh, you have an accent, which is like a microaggression, but whatever. But yeah, no, like have you ever been in situations where you've been made to feel like the other, like, oh, you're not from here, or racist
No.
encounters as well? Or is New
No.
Zealand like
Thank God. Thank God. Yeah, thank God for
that's
that.
amazing.
That's in 8 years here, I've never had an experience like that. And the people that I know who also come from Africa, Nigerians, Zimbabweans, they've also never commented that they've been subject to anything that makes them feel uncomfortable from being different. It's
Oh, that's
like,
incredible.
Yeah, people respect where you come from. They hardly ask you like, where are you from? Because you sound different.
Really?
If you
Wow.
don't tell them, they won't ask you. So I make sure to tell them because I like to talk about my country, my culture. That's I like to tell them like, hey, I know you've never asked me, but I'm from this country and there we do things like this, like that, like that. But they don't bother with where you come from. Yeah. Like
That is
even yeah,
amazing.
they address you as a person. That's it. Yeah,
Wow.
you feel like a person regardless. There was one episode where this one was for good. I remember when Black Panther came on, the first one, a kid coming from school, like he was like 10. He's like, "You like the T'Challa?" I'm like, "Oh, really? Yeah." He went like this. And I'm like, hey, yes. So yeah, that was
Wakanda
Wakanda Forever. That's what the kid said. Hey, Wakanda Forever, you're King T'Challa. I'm like, oh yeah,
Oh.
if that's what you think, yeah, good. That was
Yes,
really
I'm a
nice. Like,
king. Oh, that
yeah,
is so
I'm the
cool.
king. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, that was really cool. Yeah, it was a white kid and it was fun. It was fun and yeah. So yeah,
Oh, that
it's
is so
very
cool.
yeah, it's a very accepting country. I really like that. And I know it's not the case for everyone. There might be someone that at some point has had an encounter that wasn't positive. But for me, for my family, we've always been well treated. You send a job application, it's not because your name doesn't sound from here that they'll invite you for the interview. They'll give you the chance. If you know how to do the job, they'll take you.
You'll
If
get
you
the
got
job.
braids, you'll find a girl who's got braids, she's in the bank. A guy who's got braids, he's in the bank. A guy who's got a piercing or whatever, he's in those institutions where back home they wouldn't be accepted if they were there the way they are. But here it's like if you know how to do the job, you know how to present yourself, you know how to talk with customers, etc., you're welcome. Yeah.
That is
And
such a blessing, and that's so good to hear that it's not quite the ghetto as it is in a couple other countries,
Yeah.
where you're, reminded that, oh, you're not from here. I love that for you, that you have not been in situations, yourself and your, family have not been in situations where,
Yeah.
your difference has been a bone of contention. And it's such great news. Like, I'm so happy to hear that, like, this comedian society you found yourself is very, very accepting and does not consider it a big deal to harp on that,
Yeah.
because, like, in countries like the US, Canada, even in the UK and a lot of like European countries as well, where people have to constantly be like, yes, I'm from this place, yes, I know I have an accent, so do you, like, nobody was born speaking English language, so that is amazing. I love that. That is like that's incredible.
Yeah. I even have a friend who's Nigerian and he says sometimes it's my own mind, like he's an architect and he has to submit projects. Sometimes his projects go through, sometimes they don't. And sometimes he says, oh, probably they denied mine because I'm from Nigeria or something like that. But he knows that
His
that's the
own
way he
personal
was brought up.
bias.
Yeah, that's his own. He says, I have to do work on myself because I know like they've opened doors for me in places where I never thought they would. So it's not a good thing for me to think that when they don't, it's because of them. So he knows like it's an inner work that I have to do because I came thinking that they would treat me this way, but they don't. So
So the
yeah,
moment
so
there's a mishap, your mind goes there.
yeah.
Yeah, I see. And like here, like in Canada, I can only speak for Canada because I'm, this is where I live. It definitely comes to mind, and there are like systemic things that are just like, not for non-whites. And when you don't get something or you apply for something, you don't. It the re the chances that it's because you are black. It's there. It's like a 50-50 thing
Yeah.
where it's like it's definitely something to be considered versus where you are, where you know that, okay, then my work just wasn't, the greatest versus maybe my work, you know, I could do better and I could, you know, here it could be that, because obviously not everyone is racist and there are absolutely like beautiful people. But it definitely does come to mind because, you know, there have been scenarios where that has been the case. And so it is definitely something that's like, was it? Regardless, I'm just going to have to level up my work and try to do better, because that's all you can do, right? You can't change where you're from, you know?
So has it been something hard to adapt for you? Like having those kinds of challenges, knowing that sometimes they judge you by the color of your skin, because I would think that Canada was a progressive country.
Yeah, I mean, it is progressive in a lot of ways, but it is still very, it's a country that denies its own like history of like genocide against like the indigenous folks. It's a country that denies its own history, or maybe deny is not the right word, but it tries to ignore the history of slavery and history of all those things. Like, it didn't happen here. Like, the US is the big bad wolf, but Canada, oh, pure we Canada. Good. Canada is the, you know, but that's not the reality, right? If you dig into the history of Canada, man, it's got its own very, very racist past and history. And you know, sometimes you can see efforts with the country and government and stuff trying to kind of make amends and trying to like apologize and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, like, history is a very big part of where anyone and any country and any land, you know, is, and making amends and trying to make corrections is incredible, but you cannot do that while ignoring it. You have to accept that this did happen before you can actually truly make amends, without it looking like it's just, you know, on face value. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely something that, you know, you have to adapt to. Like, if you're going to live in the country, you kind of have to, you know, do what you can and you know, make the changes that you can and, you know, fight for the changes that you want to see while accepting some things that you really truly do not have any power over.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's very tricky.
And very often, like, when we leave a certain reality, we accept that in the new place is not going to be everything the way we want.
Everything perfect, yes.
Everything perfect. And we are there because we want to get the advantages that that country, that society can offer us.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, getting one thing means we have to
deal with another.
Yeah, deal with another. We have to leave some privileges that we have behind. Yeah. I have to deal with that.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And I've always said this, like, immigration is, you're leaving one set of problems to face another set of problems, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to be perfect. There will be pluses, there'll be minuses. And sometimes people can handle it and they go right back to their country of origin. There've been a lot of people like that where they face some things and they're like, eh, what? Nah. I'm going back.
I'm not signing up for this.
I'm not. Yeah. I quit.
Yeah.
And they go right back. Right. And some people, like, a lot of people don't even have that choice because they're refugees and their countries are at war. So now they just have to deal. They have they have nowhere to go back to. And you know, there's even privilege in being able to say that, oh yeah, I know I'm from Nigeria and I can always go back there because, you know,
just here because I want to.
It's a choice versus being choice. Forced. Like, that's, there's privilege even in that, right? Because a lot of people like don't care about this place. They want to be back home, but you know, they cannot. Right. Yeah. And that's not even just Africa. It's all over the world, right? Middle East, where wars are happening and stuff like that. Where in places like that, where people do not have a choice, they have to get to the safest country where they will be accepted and they just have to live there. Right. So, you know, it is a blessing. It's a privilege. It is trading one set of problems for another set of problems. But it's also, like you have said, bringing your own, like, your, the whole of your being, where you're able to kind of effect changes in your little way to make it your home, right? Because it is your home now, right? So, like, with you making that adjustment with your students, where it's like, okay, when we come in every day, we will greet each other before we get to work, right? That may seem like a very small thing, but it's incredibly powerful. It's your way of reclaiming, right, your place in that land and staking your claim. In a very small way. It's a very small thing, and it may seem like a small thing to you, but you know how much of a difference that would make if your day did not start like that. right? Yeah. And imagine that over time, right? And it's absolutely amazing that you feel empowered to even make that change, because in a lot of places, other people of color do not feel empowered to make that change,
right?
Where they can say, this is actually, I would prefer if this is the way. And then management is like, yeah, well, that's just not how we do things. So you're either in or you're out. Right. Mm-hmm. And so some people don't even have the choice, and they don't even have the power to make that change for themselves. So, I just love to hear that New Zealand is a place where you feel like you are at home and you are not being made to feel like an outsider. And because that's incredible. And that's the dream, right? Yeah. Is that you're able
in
any society where people are able to move there because you are, you know, helping to build their economy. And, you know, it's a give and take relationship being an immigrant, because you're pouring into the country and into the society. And so you are entitled to receiving some things as well. So, you know, it's incredible that, you know, in your country, in New Zealand, your new country, your second home, that you're able to enjoy some of those things. So have you been back to Mozambique since you moved?
Yes, I did go back to Mozambique last year for the first time, which was, the plan was always to go back after like 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. But then you start realizing that, oh, the money is not that much. Like, I thought I'd earn enough to just feel like I'm going back, and no, it's not like that. And then
the ticket prices will humble you.
Yes, they will. They will. And then we had the pandemic, and the prices went
like to heaven. Like, it just went up.
Exactly. If it was skyrocketed at the time, like 2020. A ticket would be like $1,500 return ticket, then it's like $3,000 now, US dollars. You'd be like, and then you have a family. It's not just you packing your bags.
That's true. So you have to pay for 4 seats.
You have to pay for 4 seats. And
gosh.
So we went back. We went back, and it was lovely for the kids, for us. We had been missing that kind of we're missing our culture, our people above all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always say, like, I don't miss the country. I miss the people.
Mm.
And I'm perfectly fine in my new home, but I miss my people, like my family, etc.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I understand that even my family, my people, I wouldn't see them every day. I wouldn't be with them every day. So
yes.
It's okay to be with them for this period of time and then go back.
Go back, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's absolutely amazing. It's definitely the dream to be able to, like, go back as you like, right? And just go visit family, say hello to grandparents and uncles and cousins and aunties and, you know. And sometimes just go home and just, like, eat the food.
Eat the food and in a place where...
be around the noise.
The noise.
Getting to be in the traffic just for fun.
Just for fun, be in the traffic, be with the flies. And
The mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes. All my children remember from back home, besides the food and the cousins, it's, oh, there's too many mosquitoes and too many flies. And it's always hot there.
Like, yes, that's very, a life, very hot.
It's a hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, while here, when there's... when it's a bit warm and people are like, oh, that's a gorgeous day. We have gorgeous days every day in Mozambique.
Yeah.
Every day it's a gorgeous day. Because
maybe a little too gorgeous.
A little too gorgeous, yeah. Yeah. And we don't acknowledge that. We don't say it's a beautiful day because...
yeah, it's just what it is.
It's just what it is. That's what we've had all the time and we take it for granted.
Yeah. What's the weather like in New Zealand? Do you guys have like really cold winters?
No Canadian winters here. It's no. It's mild. Like in Wellington, which is where I live, like the lowest would be like 2 degrees, but it's not
that's
common.
The lowest?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
I don't remember in recent history that we went below zero or anything. So it's usually during the day we've got 10 degrees. Sometimes 8, and then on warmish days we've got 16, 17, and then the summer it goes up to 25 ish or so.
Yeah,
with the humidity. And always tell people back home, like, the kind of weather that we have in the summer here, That's the weather that you guys say it's cold. When it's like 16 degrees, 17, and they're like, oh, it's cold.
It's
Like,
cold. Yeah.
yeah, I'm wearing a shirt today because it's nice. But yeah, it's not as bad as your kind of winter. I know your kind of winter.
Canadian winter is something of its own, like it's a beast.
Yes, yeah, even going back to what we were talking about, people making you feel like the other. There is a country very close to Mozambique where, for me, it was the most hostile country I've been to. I felt like I was a foreigner, and it's in
Where? Is this
Africa.
South Africa?
Yes,
Yeah. Oh, South Africa is like the headquarters of racism.
and
Because
it's
they
not.
literally went through like the apartheid and like which like
Yeah, and it's not just the
oof.
apartheid. It's like
There's
xenophobic
xenophobia.
attacks. Yeah,
Exactly.
and that's even
Yes.
worse. Like, yeah, we are the same, and
Yeah.
yet because you don't speak the language, you sound different.
Yeah.
They would make you feel like,
You're an
where are you
outsider,
from?
very,
How
very
come you
much
don't
though.
speak the language here? You're like,
Yeah,
I'm not from
yes.
here, and
100%. South Africa is one that I've heard so much about. I've never visited. I just feel like it's internalized racism because they have endured it for so long. And so in a
That's
way, their attempt to fight, instead of fighting the people that are literally have been oppressing them, you know, they pour the rage on other like black people. Like a lot of Nigerians have suffered third in South Africa, where like the government had to like fly Nigerians back home because you know they're like Nigerians are taking all our businesses, all our
our business,
jobs,
our
you know they're taking
wives
all our
and our
women, they're
husband.
like and they just like start like torching shops and they're like
I
and they'll
know,
make people leave their business and put a South African there.
Yeah,
The
in less
business
than a
is
few months,
done.
that business is done.
And it's so heartbreaking. Xenophobia is definitely
For
such a
me,
big
the
deal in South
worst thing
Africa.
was to experience that in my continent and feel like, how come am I not welcome here? Like, I don't feel welcome.
Because it's not welcoming and it's not crazy for you to not feel welcome there. And I think honestly, it's just one of the like results and consequences of apartheid, of colonialism, of racism within the continent, where it kind of turn
Until
it turns on
maybe in the
itself and
next,
starts fighting
yes.
itself.
Yeah, maybe in the next 100 years, that's when they'll probably start feeling like, okay, now we can come out of our shells. We can just love other people regardless. But until then,
Yeah,
yeah,
I
I
don't
don't blame
know.
them for that. It's
And again, like not to generalize, like all South Africans are this way.
no,
No, that's
not at
not the
all.
case,
They're this.
but it just again, it's one of those like consequences. If hate and oppression is all that you've known as a people, if you've always been in fight or flight mode for set like for a very freaking long time, that's all you know. That's your body's response. The moment you're like around something different, it's
Then
like you're ready to fight because that's all you've received and that's all you've known. And that tension is passed down, whether realize it or not, through DNA. And trauma is passed on from generation. Like, it's crazy. While other countries have, you know, 50, 60 years of independence and whatnot, they're still like in the
Still,
20,
like,
30 years
yeah, it's a
range. And it's a
young
very,
country in
very,
terms
very
of
young country.
freedom.
And so, yeah, there's no perfect country, no perfect society, no perfect people.
No,
And yeah, we just hope for the best with that. But,
true,
Jeruzio, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for coming on here and sharing your story and having this conversation with me. Would you mind leaving your social media if that's something you're interested in, like leaving for people to follow you or see what you're up to?
Yes, yeah, sure. It's Jeruzio Matons, my first and last name. And yeah, they can follow me there. We can interact. I love to interact with people from with immigrants in general, because there's I learn a lot from other people's experiences, and it also gives me a chance to appreciate what I have, which some people don't. And yeah, that's it's really nice to be able to just exchange ideas, exchange stories, and
Yes, 100%. Leave us with a word of wisdom, a word of advice.
A word of advice would be for, I'd say for couples or for families, If you are, let's say, in your early 30s or early 20s and you're planning to move abroad, moving to a different country will make your connection, you and your wife, stronger or break you. So be ready for that. In my case, thank God, it made us stronger because we rely on each other. But I know of many families where that's not the case. Being in a place where it's just the two of you raising a family pulls you apart. And you want to go this way, your wife wants to go the other way. So, young families, if you're planning to move, just think carefully. Can we do this? Can we raise this family just the two of us? If that's a yes, then you're going to prosper. And above all, pray that your marriage grows stronger when you're apart from your support system.
That is very, that's very powerful. Actually, I'm very curious about that, if you don't mind talking a little bit more. How has it been, I guess, raising a family? I know you started raising a family when you moved here. What is one main difference you would say if you were raising your family in Mozambique versus raising them right now in New Zealand?
I think the main difference is, and that this is something I heard from a mom in this podcast, was that raising a family abroad made me be the parent that I was meant to be, in the sense that I'm a full-time parent. It's not my parents raising them a little bit, and then my cousins take them a little bit. It's all on me or on us, me and my wife. We are responsible for them. There's no one else. No one's going to save us. It's not, there's nothing like that. So we've grown and we've developed into like proper, I don't know if that's the right term, proper parents, where we are responsible for everything that goes around. There's no hiding. There's no giving our children for a while to other people to keep them for 2 weeks. So there is an issue, we have to deal with it. Any issues, we deal with it. That's us. That's on us. No one else. We don't ask for people's opinions. We don't bring our parents. How do we do this? It's on the job training. It's on the job everything. You do it every day. So yeah,
Yeah, that
that's
is.
what being here has allowed us to be. No one told us how it was going to be. We've learned on the ground every day.
Yeah, there's no village in
Yeah, there's no
quotes
village to raise. Yeah.
to raise the kid. You are the
No,
village.
we are the village. Yeah.
Yeah,
So you have
that
to
is.
develop all sorts of tools to be able to make sure that you're raising confident kids, but that who feel that they're loved by their parents, but they also have the freedom to express themselves. Not as it would be if we were home where, hey, this is what I say, you do because I say so. No, it's not like
Period.
that. We can't, here in this society, we have to explain things a lot. Yeah, and that makes us better too.
It definitely like builds patience as a parent, I would
Yeah,
imagine.
patience, resiliency as a parent too, because the kids are smarter these days and they have access to a lot more information. While when you and I were growing up, it's the parents' way or the highway.
On the
That's it.
highway, and you
Yep.
don't want to be on
You don't want to be in the
the
highway.
highway.
Yeah.
So you have to do it your parents'
You
way.
have to do what you're told. Yeah. And no explanation needed. I just do it because I said so.
Because I
But
said so.
yeah. So
Yeah.
yeah.
That's so
Yeah.
good. Thank you so much, Aruzio, for again sharing your story, sharing yourself here, and having this conversation with me today, with us, and sharing your views on the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been a pleasure to be part of your podcast and keep up the good work. You're doing so much good. It's lovely to
Thank you.
hear you asking all these difficult questions and also sharing some good stuff with immigrants. So I'm with Afros. So I'm really blessed and I hope that you carry on doing this because it's a beautiful thing to witness and be part of.
Oh, I appreciate that so much, Arizio. Thank you so much. I'm gonna put that in my little heart pocket and keep going.
You take it. You take it. You deserve it.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. And for our listeners, thank you so much for sticking with us this entire episode. We will see you on the next one. Bye.
Bye.